When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, here we go again.
Yes.
Lovely. And it's nice to be back.
It is.
There are a few issues. Technical problems the previous week. Last week, we, for footballing political reasons, lost a guest that we'd spoken to. But that was, bearing in mind what was happening at his football club.
Correct.
Right thing to do, and we shall speak with him going forward.
Absolutely.
This week, we shall be talking to the US international Christopher Sullivan about, and Leeds fans need to stay with us. Or spread the word. If you want to know about your new coach, Christopher Sullivan knows more about him than anybody else. And we will be speaking with Sully forward.
I still love Sully.
If you found us for the first time, tell your mates. You can contact us at... We're available on all good podcast platforms at Keys and Grey Pod. A-N-D, Keys and Grey Pod. Occasionally with DJ, Nigel de Jong will pop in and join us.
But it is... Better to do.
This weekend, I think he's in Abu Dhabi. He's in Manchester City Square for the Derby.
That's where he's going.
With City fans, so he won't be with us. But anyway, Keys and Grey Pod were available on Insta Twitter.
I kicked his butt yesterday at golf again.
I know, he doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it, no. And he's a really good player, but the old boy did him again.
Well, he wasn't a good player when he first came.
No, but he's very good now.
He's now a very, very good player. It's a very odd world, very, very different world to the one that we last spoke to you in, and our thoughts and prayers are with everybody caught up in a very, very... And you have to use your words, Andy, so carefully, because you can be misunderstood so easily these days in a very unpalatable
tragedy.
And if we can bring in some small way a little bit of light, I don't know.
No.
But the rights, the wrongs, and the politics of... As a very good friend of ours in our part of the world, Steve Clune would say, our head of sport. Andy,
I know what you're going to say.
Well above my
well
pay grade.
Well above my pay grade. It's well above mine as well.
Well above my pay grade, so I'm not getting into that.
No.
We've had, I think, got most of the boys are mentioned now, haven't we, going forward?
Yeah, Clooney, yeah, mentioned him.
Dillo's had a mention.
Yeah, Danny's had a mention.
Yeah, I think, we need mufflers on the microphones if we're mentioning Howie.
Had a mention?
Howie? Ed Snowden.
Ed Snowden, is he a mention? No, I don't think he has now.
This will mean nothing if you're outside of our part of the world.
Yeah.
So much this week. I mean, there is so much this week, Andy. It's pointless having a top five. It's a top 50. PSG this morning saying Poch is going nowhere. Leonardo says we're in constant contact. He's never suggested he wants to leave. He will not be joining Manchester United. John Cross, story in the Mirror, Premier League. Just referring back to the story we were talking about, threat to the Russians, they might pull the plug on their TV deal. What do you mean threat? Do it.
Just do it.
Marks and Spencer and IKEA have shut shops all over Russia. Yes. Just do it.
Just do it.
I mean, there's so much hypocrisy involved in this whole situation. Just do it. Why is Roman Abramovich allowed to sell Chelsea before he's sanctioned? Why not come down now?
Well, I don't know. Above my pay grade.
If I'm buying Chelsea, I'm not paying him $3
billion. No one is.
Squeeze him.
Yeah.
500 mil, that's your lot. Although it's a fabulous, fabulous acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
In West London, that real estate, let alone the football club.
Yeah.
Think about it.
But they don't own the pitch, do they?
They don't own the pitch. Yeah. That's the Chelsea Pitch Owners Association. Very clever. Very smart move. Very smart move.
So they can't sell the pitch here without
the agreement of, I think it's 144 different people.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more than that.
I think it may be more
than that. But the rest of it, is for you. The Russian FA are going to court over their global ban. I thought this was quite interesting, actually. They're going to the sport of arbitration. Who does it suit that they're banned? Certainly not FIFA and UEFA, does it? UEFA President Alexander Čeferin refused to be drawn on how and when the ban might end. He said it's impossible to say. At this moment, our decision is the right decision. Yes.
Yes.
But the words "at this moment" apply. Mm-hmm. Going forward, I think it suits both FIFA and UEFA for Russia to win this case.
Really?
Yeah. They want them back in. They didn't want them out. Look at Infantino, early part of the week. Yeah, no, you can play in white shirts without a flag.
No, he was...
Sorry?
He was a joke. He was a joke.
Scotland's game against the Ukraine postponed.
How is that going to work?
Well, I don't know. Announcements going forward. I don't know. What did I say to you about the Super League when Gary Neville told us he'd crushed it and that we would never hear again about the Super League? I said it would be back. Mm-hmm. It is back.
Rumbling again, is it?
Yep. Like a bad smell is the headline here in the Mirror. Agnelli won't go away. He says he's got 12 teams all signed up and ready to play. The hated structure of permanent members has apparently been moved from. But again, it's all smoke and mirrors because the guys that
want it,
you would expect to be in it
won't ever be out of
it. No, very much so.
They won't ever be.
Very much so. So no change there.
No.
I mean, Señor Tabas, who runs the Spanish league, has been strong, very strong on his comments with Čeferin, who echo each other's sentiments when and I've just now gone and lost it.
No. But I get the Spanish, Keezy. I get the Italians. I get their desire for it because the leagues are not bankrupt, but poor.
Close
to respect to you know money.
Yeah,
but poor compared to the riches of the Premier League. Still, still the most watched league in the world. Still the most expensive league in the world. Still a league that collects more money every year in the world than any of them. So I get the foreign guys thinking, you know, this is a way out for us. This is a way out for Barcelona and Real Madrid to get amass lots of money that they can't do playing in the Spanish league or playing in the Champions League. And I get it, but I don't get the British clubs, but unless they just feel that we'll get left out. If we don't join it, we're left on the
shelf. Well, this was Čeferin talking about this week. He said there was a meeting in a house, in a house. Now they're saying they don't want fixed slots. Real are saying they don't want a fixed slot. It is false. It is very difficult for the English teams to form part of this competition. So they're creating a European league with two categories, and national leagues are the second category. Mm-hmm. In other words, I think what they're saying is promotion from.
Yes.
If you're top of this league, you can get into that one. There will be two or three people relegated, but they will always be typical teams involved: Juventus, Barca, Real Madrid.
Of course, it will.
It's difficult.
Do you know what it's a bit like? It's a bit like a glorified Champions League. This year, every year, you look at the Champions League now, and apart from Barcelona, and there obviously have been reasons why they've been as poor as they have been this year. Apart from that, the same teams.
Well, but what is that reason? That reason is that for a decade they overspent.
Yes. And they haven't got it now.
No.
Exactly. And I think it's the same teams, apart from Barcelona, the same teams that we turn into every year who will be in the same eight. You could sit here now and predict eight teams, and about seven of them will be in the Champions League last eight next year.
Well, Čeferin didn't pull his punches. He said they say they want this, but they don't want this, but they're working on it. Every time I read about it, I get cross. I think they lie more than Putin. But then you see, then you read Steve Parish, the Crystal Palace chairman, on who's making the money. And I, you know, he's got a very good point when he talks about...
Who's making what money?
Well, who's making money out of football, out of the competitions that football clubs enter. To hear Mr. Čeferin paint UEFA as the saviour of football is quite incredible, said Parish. If you ask pretty much every football club in Europe, most people would tell you that UEFA is the greatest enemy to domestic leagues that exists. At least with the Super League, they didn't try and hide it. I mean, it's extraordinary stuff, this. The new Champions League proposals look so much like the Super League in some regards. They're worse. We seem to be sleepwalking into it, UEFA and FIFA, dominating the football calendar while Mr. Čeferin picks all our pockets. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really strong.
That is strong from Steve. But he's not... Listen, he's no shrinking violet, Steve. You'll see how he feels.
No, but that's... What he's saying is, hang on a minute, you know, we need a bigger share. And you understand that. It's a bit like, I suppose... footballers at football clubs being taken to represent international teams, the asset is the clubs, and yet the international team's not going to, or until recent years, compensate you for injury or loss. Look at Michael Owen at Newcastle.
Yeah, yeah.
When he got his injury.
Yeah.
Nobody paid Newcastle his wages.
But do you think the creeping desire of those two giant organisations, UEFA and FIFA, do you think their creeping desire to dominate world football at club level as well as international level threatens the fabric of team countries' leagues? By that, I mean, we keep getting more competitions. The Nations League that FIFA have thrown up now, where there's more internationals. The conference, the European Conference League that UEFA suddenly threw in, so more teams can get European football against, well, to use a Scottish word, some diddy teams that are doing nothing else. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a creeping influence on those two organisations.
I agree, but the counter-argument is, and this has been a long-held a conversation piece about Qatar,
yeah,
an Arab World Cup, the first one. It's about time. I'm sure when we talk to Sully, 1990 will get a mention. Do you remember the furore that surrounded 1990?
Yeah.
What were FIFA doing taking a World Cup to America, of all places, where they don't know about soccer? And yet look what they have created as a result.
Correct.
One of the top five leagues in the world, the MLS.
Is it?
Yeah. Wow. In terms of support.
Wow.
And they're not short of money either.
No. Wow.
So that's the counter argument that if Infantino were part of this conversation, he'd be ducking and diving weaving and bobbing and not answering a question, of course, because that's his style. But he probably would argue, we need to spread the word. We need to take football to all the different... Now, you know, argue that to its source. His predecessor... survived by taking football around the world and getting the votes of what were previously described as the smaller nations.
Yeah.
So it is a world. It's not England's game anymore. It is a world game.
It is a world
the ownership
game.
Of the clubs proves
but
that.
I just get the feeling they're squeezing it. I think they're squeezing us. You know, there are fewer and fewer breaks now. More and more breaks, sorry, for international games. There are more European games. They're trying to beef up the Champions League. They're trying to beef up the World Cup numbers. Who can play in our World Cup finals to what, 48?
Yeah,
something like that.
Next one is. Yeah.
In America and Mexico and Canada.
One after that, everybody.
Everybody in. Scotland have got a chance. Come on, boys.
Andy Dunn this morning in the Mirror, arguing about the sale of Chelsea, really alluding to what I was just saying. It, you know, is that right in this marketplace that should be allowed to happen? His last two paragraphs. If anyone wants to do a deal with a Russian oligarch right now, there are two things they most certainly are not. Fit and proper.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, it's an argument, isn't it?
It's a very good argument, but there are quite a few owners that you could level at against, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, but not in these circumstances.
Not in these circumstances, no.
You know, no one's at war anywhere else in the world.
No, I don't know. Yeah.
Well...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, I mean, if you're serious about it...
Yeah.
Then nail him, now.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't let him sell and then ride off into the sunset waving and, you know, thanks for me.
Why, ask me this then, because you know more about this sort of thing than I do.
I don't think I do.
Yeah, you do.
I have
but
a view.
Why is there so much talk about Abramovich and not Usmanov?
I don't know.
And I say that because I obviously worry about...
Of course, that's part of the hypocrisy that...
I mean, Usmanov, I hear his name mentioned, but just mentioned in passing almost. But I don't hear...
I refer to the previous comment way above my pay grade. Southampton's success this week, did you know that was down to?
Go on.
The football. The mitre ball. It's lighter than the Nike Premier League ball. Ralph Hasenhüttl said it was an amazing goal from Perro. The ball in the cup is lighter, and that's why you should shoot more from outside the box. We have a few good guys who can score goals from there.
Yeah, they have. Ward-Prowse.
So
let's see.
So it's a different
let's
ball.
See in the cup. Keep your eye on the cup then.
We also have a new ball to look forward to seeing in the Premier League this weekend.
So the winter ball's going?
The winter ball is gone.
Oh, it's gone.
It's swapped for a new blue and white version, which will be in use between now and the end of the season.
The colours already.
Well, yeah, but it's not your blue. It's
is it not?
It's sky blue.
Oh, you're joking. It's light your blue.
It's light blue. It's city blue.
City blue. It's not Rangers blue.
No. See, I've always thought that. Why don't the champions play with a gold ball?
Don't know.
At their home ground. Why not?
It's a good shout.
You can fly a flag. You play with a goal. And just for added interest, let's say somebody comes from an away team, an individual gets a hat-trick. They keep that ball.
Not bad, son. Like it.
Well, just
like it.
Set it aside, wouldn't it?
Like it, yeah.
This ball, by the way... it has moulded grooves and 3D printed ink to help players put the ball exactly where they want it each and every time. It has four fused panels to create a larger sweet spot on the ball for powerful shots. And the revolutionary aerodynamics results in 30% truer flight compared to Nike's previous Merlin ball. Well, that was the one they said was perfect.
Yeah. No, this is more perfect.
This is 30% more perfect.
So that means now, it doesn't move. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
So goalies will be able to catch it now instead of punching it all the time.
They should be.
Should be. It's not moving in the air.
And there should be no misplaced passes. It's just nonsense.
It's nonsense. Yeah, I was just going to say, there's one thing missing in that about ability to play passes. Ability.
And there's so much this week, but this one will please you. Klopp praises scientists that helped with these penalties. They've been working very closely with...
Have they?
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah. The two boys were pictured with the trophy after the game, and this is all about psychology.
Yes, I get
and
that.
Pep Guardiola has said, when talking about Jack Grealish this week, prior to his impressive performance at, what was it, Peterborough?
Something like that.
Peterborough?
Jack? I think it was Peterborough.
Yeah. He starts...
Small Econs.
Well, let's see if he's... what do you mean, small? He's 26. Let's see if he starts the derby this weekend.
Yeah, see. Yeah.
Plays and scores against Peterborough.
What did he say?
He said he's happy with him. He's not in, too concerned about stats anymore. I think, and I was at the world famous Aspire this week.
Yes.
And they agree with me. There's a move away from the stats.
Oh, good.
They think that stats has become too dominant. The question I put to them was... did we set up, were we creating athletes rather than footballers? And there's a difference.
Yeah, there is a difference.
And we were.
Yeah.
And who would have thought that a young man by the name of, let me find his name, DiMaggio Wright Phillips, would have the temerity to start his professional career and say, I was a better finisher than Grandad. Do you know who Grandad was?
Yeah, of course I do. Righty.
Ian Wright. Ian Righty. Wright.
Andy. I don't know.
Andy. Grandad.
I know.
Ian Wright.
I know, I'm a granddad.
I know, but you actually pushed back on it, didn't you, for a long time?
I'm still pushing back.
What happened when you became a granddad for the first time and your children said, what should we call... Because every granddad is gramps or grandpa My father was known as GD.
Yeah. Quite like that.
Yeah. So, what were you... When your daughter said, what should we call you?
I said, same as everybody else, Andy.
Couldn't get your head around that.
No, I couldn't get my head around it. I'm sorry. I might be sad. I probably am. But I couldn't get my head around. And I told him, if you call me granddad, you're out the world. It's as simple as that.
Andy!
But we've got round it now.
As time has moved on.
Time has moved on, and there's too many of them now. So I've had to give in. I thought that was all right. Same as everybody else, Andy.
Yeah. Well, I think at the time it probably was, yeah.
But I wish I'd have thought.
You think Righty's just Righty?
Oh, I don't know. Righty, I think Righty will. Would he?
I don't know.
Taken on Grandad. GD's a good one. I wish I'd have thought.
GD.
Of that. Yeah.
See, time passed. I remember watching Righty come on as a sub in 1990.
Palace.
Yes.
Yes, me too.
In the 3-3.
Yeah.
Before Lee Martin got the replay. I don't know. I
was
actually on the day working
for
the Football Association doing the in-house video.
What year was
I was behind the goal.
I'm sure I did that
1990.
Game. Why would I do that?
Yeah, you probably did for us. For what was BSB.
BSB?
Yeah, you may have.
Yeah. I probably would have done. Yeah.
Yeah, but as usual, I was on the fringes. So I wasn't taken to... So I was doing the in-house FA video behind the goal.
Okay.
When Martin scored in the replay, I was at that end, and that was the Palace end, and it just went so quiet. I'd never experienced that. You guys who have played, you know that.
Yeah.
But it went so quiet, and I thought, what's happened? Have they disallowed it?
Yeah, look up the other end.
Yeah, the other end, of course. I couldn't hear them at the far end.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. We nearly did that once at Sky, didn't we? We had a clapometer.
Yes, one of the lads who was producing at the time thought it would be a good idea to have a clapometer.
Super slow-mo.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
A clapometer that when something happened, we could see who... And we both kind of said, well, I've got a funny feeling that it's going to be its loudest when someone scores. I might be wrong, but it might be at its loudest when there's a goal scored. And I think it was shelved.
Yeah, clapometer didn't actually make its way to the broadcast that weekend.
No.
But anyway, listen, who knows going forward? Everything else has been tried.
Yes.
Let's speak to our guests. Christopher Sullivan, Andy, you and I know very well.
We do.
A very enjoyable month we spent in his company in Miami.
Yes.
We have worked with him in Los Angeles.
Yes.
At a different TV company. And I know that we can guarantee he'll be with us in Qatar for 2022.
We've also worked with him in Qatar.
American coach, former American international footballer. I contacted him this week and said, Sully, will you join us to talk about Jesse Marsh? Yes, of course he will. First question he asked was, is it in vision?
Well, that's because he's good looking. That's because he is good looking. I only do vision. What are you like, Sully? What are you like? I also call him the Oracle.
Oh.
Because he is the Oracle.
He's an encyclopedia.
Yes, he is.
If you want to know anything about anybody outside of the English Premier League.
He's your man.
He's your man.
Oh, without a doubt.
The more obscure, the better.
There you go.
Yes.
Sully, we're talking about you. We should be talking to you. How are you, my friend?
Yes, I'm doing great. I mean, you guys, it's 10 o'clock at night here and 11 o'clock in California, and you guys have just given me another 8 hours of of energy.
We'll keep you up, son.
I'll have to sleep at all. Yeah, you'll keep me up. I'll be on that flight to Cabo San Lucas tomorrow morning.
Oh, you lucky boy. Stop it. You did that deliberately.
Of course he did. Yes. Of course he did. can I just say, Andy, Cabo San Lucas, okay, which is a beautiful, beautiful destination. But he won't be on his own.
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh, why not?
Well, he's good looking. That's why he won't be on his own. And his name's Sully.
Sully, for those who unfortunately don't yet have too much of what we might describe as background information about you, let's start there so they know who we're talking to. I said former US international footballer. How many caps?
I think around 20 or so back in, I played in the 1990 World Cup in Italy. And then before the 94, had a pretty bad injury and then was back in the 98 qualifying. So, you know, the scope of three World Cups during my time and then was fortunate to play in Europe. You know, I was one of the first, you know, Americans to play over in Europe and it was fortunate to learn from the French and then the Hungarians as well. Played a little bit in Denmark and Germany at Hertha Berlin. So I feel very blessed that I had the opportunity to play with the Europeans. I always had a little South American style. You know, I fell in love with that game at a young age, the Brazilians and the Argentines, and I've been able to do what I love and work with the greats, the legends like you too.
Thanks, pal.
The the nasty injury he refers to, he had two stitches and an eyebrow cut.
Is that what it was? Well, for Sully, that's very serious. Yeah. Any marks on that face were a serious injury.
These days, working coach with youngsters, yes?
Yeah, yep. I'm a scout for the national team, so I'm looking at some of the young generations. Like, they're looking for the next, you know, Tyler Adams or Pulisic and so forth. I have two young kids that I just recommended to the national team, the under 15. You know, one is an Algerian boy. He's like a little Zidane. Another one is a like world-class speed and great technician. So we have, you know, we have a lot of young players in the United States in that generation of guys that played like John Harkes and myself and Tab Ramos and other ones that were fortunate to play and become pioneers, you know, and kind of break the mold. We're able to help the next generation. So I've done that, and of course, broadcasting the last 20 years.
Very good mates with Jürgen Klinsmann, who lives just down, in our terms, just down the road, about 100 miles away, but very good mates with Klinsmann, and always active on Instagram. So what's your handle, Sully, so people can follow from this point?
I like that.
Christopher? Yep. I like that. What's your handle? Christopher Sully 10. Christopher Sully.
Oh, it's bound to be 10. It's got to be 10.
But to be fair, mine's got the number nine in it.
That's different.
Mine has got the 9
tens
in it.
Are unique. Tens are like Sully. They're tricky. They're good looking. They're technical. Yeah. I think is the modern word, isn't it?
Yeah, they're good looking. They don't like physical contact.
So, well, you know what we call that here? That's No, that's when they say the one likes to wear the tuxedo, right?
Very good, yeah. Sonny. I like that.
But I don't like to. I don't like to wear the tuxedo, but you got to use that one, Andy. Oh, it's a good one.
Sonny, it's getting used.
I have logged it. Trust me, I shall going forward be using it.
Yeah.
But your love of football, Sonny, and I use that word obviously carefully, mm-hmm. was from a very early age, wasn't it? In an era, really, when it hadn't caught on in the US. So why was that?
Well, you know, I followed my older brother, and he played football his whole life, you know, growing up, and he was a natural competitor. He was an All-American in rugby and in the national championship at UCLA against Cal Berkeley that dominated rugby in the United States. And so I just went along with my brother. I think like most, you know, you can ask Andy and others as well. They're normally playing with their siblings. And so the oldest player was 14. The youngest player was 4. That was myself. And my brother was 8. And they had Scotsmen, Tommy Anderson and Mr. Logie, Graham Logie, that was teaching us. And first they started in a classroom and no one understood what they were saying on the board, but we went out and played. And after, you know, after a year and a half, you know, they say, hey, he can play. You know, he loves the ball, the affinity with the ball. And then I played other sports as well. So I had, you know, offers to play college American football and so forth. But my first love was always soccer, you know, football.
Slipped into it. Soccer.
You've corrected yourself. And that's what I was impressed with Jesse Marsh for doing yesterday in his press conference. But we'll get back to that. I mean, you're working, if you're scouting for the national team, you're working very closely with Bob Bradley then.
He's not with the national team right now. He's in Toronto. Actually, he was at LAFC, and I was calling some games there with Max Bredos, my old partner, and he did quite a good job, you know, at LAFC. He got let go. You know, he was there for 2-3 years. They did extremely well, and now he took the job at Toronto, where, I don't know if you saw, they signed Lorenzo Insigne, the Italian European Championship, the champion that was with. You know, get this. He's at Napoli. He's on about 3 million euros per year.
Yes, he
and
would be.
They've right. offered him 15 million euros a year in Toronto.
Shut
so
up.
The money is very
Shut
real
up.
in the United
you, how
States.
How can they
now.
Pay that? Sorry.
No,
how
really.
Can they pay that?
They're doing it. They just, Galaxy has Douglas Costa, you know, the great player who was playing in Bayern Munich, the Brazilian that was also in Juventus, who a few years ago I thought that was one of the best transfers, you know, mid-season. Yeah. And so now Galaxy have him. And all those deals are upper range of 8 to, you know, 10, 12 million a year. When Zlatan played his first year, he was going for a smaller amount because he was coming off that injury at Manchester United. And when he re-signed his next deal, it was quite, you know, it was like tenfold that.
Tenfold what? Put some numbers on that. Tenfold what?
Tenfold, well, let's say Zlatan signed for 1 million, I think, the first year in a house in LA. Once he showed that he got over the injury, right, that they were concerned with, then he signed a new deal and it was more like 10 million a year.
What happened to the salary
that he was
cap
making in
there,
LA?
Sally, yeah. I thought they were very strict on how much they paid and a certain club was only allowed to pay so much salary.
That's right. But then you have the players that are outside the salary cap,
right.
You know, the franchise players, they call them. So
right.
Beckham was one of those players. He was the first to be where they broke the rule for him. You know, he was on 6.5 million a year, but then they actually bought his imaging rights, which worked out to be like 50 plus million a year, which is interesting. We bring up Beckham for a second. Listen to this.
Go ahead.
You know, I don't know if this came up at all in your discussion, but when I was, you know, covering the league for so many years at Fox, Jesse Marsh was playing in the local derby of LA Galaxy, was playing then Chivas USA. The team of Guadalajara had a team in the United States, and Bob Bradley was the coach. And Jesse Marsh came in on a real hard tackle. I don't know if you guys had seen that on Beckham, right?
Yeah, it's so the only thing he's famous for at the moment.
Come back up again now this whole week. Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, he's kind of in your face. He's got a lot of moxie. There's a lot of conviction. And, you know, just touching on him, I thought that today I thought he was quite good, you know, in the press conference. It's not easy to win over the English media. And I think most of the comments were, hey, I really like this guy. We need to get behind him and so forth. And obviously they missed Loco Bielsa, who was kind of an iconic figure there at Leeds. But the funniest comment in there was all the typing you heard during the press conference. One of the English, they have some funny comments, but the person had said, "This guy typing is just doing in my head."
We know what he means. Yeah.
Yeah, and I said, that sounds like something I'd hear Richard or Andy say.
But the thing about his and I've said to Andy for a long time now, Sally, I think the influence of American business and Chelsea could be changing hands into American
owner
ownership.
Owner of the Dodgers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you see, I think they are deeply involved in Super League, and that's resurfaced again. I didn't expect it not to after allegedly it was buried. But the creeping influence of the American. Marsh follows Bob Bradley, who was buried by xenophobia. We couldn't get our heads round the fact that he would talk about uniforms and umpires.
Road trips.
And I'm being... I'm exaggerating
road
here.
Road trips instead of away, instead of away,
it's Americanism. Yeah.
Marsh's only mistake was talking about the roster. But do you think he will have it any easier than Bradley did? And are we on the cusp of an American takeover?
Yeah, well, no, for the second one, the latter, I'd say no. And if you just look at the history of Americans trying to take over in Serie A, that's a difficult nut to crack as well. When you look at the Roma owner who came in, many people had said, and I've been fortunate enough to have living in Silicon Valley where people come in and say, hey, you know, I got $60 million. I want to buy Atalanta. They owe us some money. And, you know, my good friend, Enrique Miguel, who is Roberto Baggio's trainer, said, Christopher, what they don't understand is in Italy, it's not the money to buy the team. It's all the movement and power behind.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
there's
yes,
much
true.
More to it. And I think the complexities now when you're looking at the TV rights in England, and then culturally speaking, it's a whole different area of expertise. But one thing I would say about Jesse,
to, but the counter argument is you've got Stan Kroenke at Arsenal.
Yeah.
You've got the Glazers at Manchester United. Liverpool are in American ownership. So it's already started, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it has started. Americans only want to be in England because they realize that that's where the action is. That's where the game is being played at the highest level. That's where the money is worth. If you're going to take a gamble and take that type of investment, you could arguably say, like, hey, these are franchises as big as the Yankees. These are franchises as big as the Dodgers, as big as the 49ers and so forth. They're just massive when you look at the world appeal. There was the little cafe, I think, that I took you where we went to Keezy, to the restaurant like a half a mile away. Mm. And for 20 years, the owner of Tipco Software, Vivek Ranadeve, who owns Sacramento Kings, and he was a partner. He was a temporary 20% owner of the Warriors, but he had to relinquish that when he took the Sacramento. Every morning, Christoph, he called me Christoph, should I buy Aston Villa or should I buy Swansea? I don't want to go to Swansea.
No, Villa would have been a good buy. You know? Trust
and
me.
Then, yeah, no, and he told me, then he would, it would always come around to, would you play in this co-ed team that I'm trying to play in? You know, like to bring a ringer in his team. I said, no, I don't want to play that. But he'd always ask about buying certain teams. And I think that's when Randy Lerner was at Aston Villa, I believe. So, I mean, it really is, it is the hot thing right now for American investors to try to get to the EPL.
Well, you've got the 49ers now with a 44% stake in Leeds and growing. They've agreed that they will take the club over in 2024. So staying in the Premier League is critical to them. Who is Jesse Marsh?
Jesse Marsh is he's from a working class background, Wisconsin. He's similar. They identify with Bob Bradley, you know, the great teams. And Bob Bradley certainly had some good teams. If you look at the Peter Novak-led Chicago Fire, where he won the first year in the initial inaugural season, that had Lubos Kubik. Andy will remember him, and you would too as well, Richard, from the 90 World Cup, the Czech that played in Fiorentina. Mm. And he had several Polish players, and Christo Stoichkov ended up playing there. I mean, they had some amazing players. And Jesse was always the extension of the coach. But he wasn't just a guy kicking players. He had the grit and toughness. He's not like a Gattuso, Gennaro Gattuso, totally in that vein. He could also relay a ball, you know. So, I mean, he's obviously not Fernandez, Tigana, Jerez, and Platini either, but he understood the collective and how to move the ball and rotate the ball and get the ball to the influential catalyst that actually tipped the scale in the game. So I think he had a good soccer sense of the game based on covering him for several years in the league. Mm. You know, he was a player that was always fundamental. He was a leader. His leadership is his best quality. And I think I can't think of an American coach right now. And there's some good American coaches out there that could have handled the media the way that he did. I mean, like how we were talking, Kesey, about self-deprecating, and he came up with a soliloquy of what he wanted, and it was very eloquent. And then he followed it up by saying that really sounded like Ted Lasso after, and everyone broke up laughing.
I know. But Sully, I mean, that was him as a player. What Leeds fans this morning I'll be sitting there thinking, what can we expect to see? What can Leeds fans expect a team to look like, do you think, with Jesse in charge?
Well, there are certain characteristics that cross over that are similar to Marcelo Bielsa, and that's the intensity and the fitness. And he calls it run. He has a word for it. You know, it's the run program where they actually the metrics of the running, how much output they put into the game. And so they're very hardworking. I think the pressing will be, you know, you just think of Arrigo Sacchi or any coach, Cholo Simeone. Simeone is a little bit different because he pulls back, but a high aggressive pressing team, you know, that maybe even to the word of hyper pressing, right? Okay. If it's a situational scenario. So he's very much into pressing, and he had his best success with New York Red Bull when he transformed that team, and it was a very aggressive, you know, they're robbing the ball or they're committing their opponent to be dispossessed in higher positions up the pitch, right? Okay. So they're closer to goal.
Okay.
And which is a basic concept of football, right? It's not revolutionary,
no,
but that's something that he's kind of perfected. And then, you know, I think in transitional moments, he's a little bit, he talks about, what's interesting is he uses the word topics, right? He didn't want to say concept. So he purposely said topics because he didn't want people to say, this guy is just throwing buzzwords out there, right? Which I thought was pretty clever. But it's going to be a hard task. But I think that his teams play very aggressive. They're on the front foot, you know, as you would say there. Mm-hmm. They're looking to press and transition very quickly and swiftly, lightning fast. I think the press conference was personal. If I judged him, I'd say 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. But he used the word, now we need to implement our ideas and clarity. That's the challenge, the application. You know, because if you look at Manchester United, I've been waiting for 7 years. I was covering them on Champions League, and I saw the decline. When they were, you know, center backs were turning like battleships in the back, and midfielders being paid $100 million.
That's true.
Being paid $100 million. Yeah. They were being paid €100 million, and you pass the ball to a midfielder, and he passed back to a center back like Harry Maguire to figure it out instead of showing that he has mobility. You know, the opposite antithesis of say Thiago in Liverpool, right? And so. Here you have a coach, his mentor in Manchester United, and you see how much he's struggling. The 4-2-2-2, he kind of came away from that. So I don't think it's just tactics. His strength is the leadership, the belief, the conviction. That's what came across today.
Okay.
This is a guy who's driven in what he's done, doing, I think.
You stirred my memory, Sully, talking about midfield players dropping in amongst centre-backs. Go all the way back to a totally different generation when Ronnie Moran was on the coaching staff at Liverpool. Graham Souness had just been bought from Middlesbrough and dropped off from midfield to go and get a ball from Phil Thompson. And Ronnie, after the game, said to him, he plays for fucking England. We don't need you running from where you are on the halfway line to join our centre-backs to pick a ball up from Thomas. get yourself up the football pitch. And it's as true today as ever it was, wasn't it?
Yes, and you know, it's culturally, it's, I have two friends from, you met one of them, Richard, you know, Gary Ireland. Mm. And he, you know, he grew up also in Australia, and his brother Simon was quite a player too. And he was, you know, when he was training with Chelsea, if he'd come back and, or if they moved, they'd say, stop moving so much. The defense, stop moving so much. You know, it's very interesting, you know, the culture when you think about that. But a quick story about Andrea Pirlo. He was a number 10, right, for Inter Milan.
Whoa. Stop right there. Right, let's use the correct phraseology.
Yes.
He enjoyed wearing the tuxedo.
Yes.
Right. There we go. So Pirlo, here he is with crutches. Andrea Pirlo is with crutches on. He's in Brescia. Massoni's the coach. I'm sitting next to Baggio. He's playing cards with Luca Toni. And you can see Pirlo's face. He's just sad. You know, it looks like a kid alone. He's got nothing to do. I came over to him and started speaking to him and told him how much I loved him as a player. And Massoni had said, hey, instead of playing a 10, like you playing, instead of playing the this role, trequartista, in like you play in Inter, how about you play a number 10 right in front of the back line? You know, you just play like a number 10 in front of the back line. And 2 years later, Johan Cruyff said, that's the best deep line midfielder in the world. So it was exactly what you and Andy were talking about, someone coming back that deep and orchestrating, that type of play.
Success has many fathers. Carlo Ancelotti claims that he came up with that idea.
Does he really?
Yes. Only failure is a bastard.
Yeah, well, Sully knows who came up with that.
But it was Massoni. It was Massoni, though. It was Massoni.
On Jesse Marsh, then, just quickly on this.
Yes.
What are the chances? We know the league. It's an unforgiving place, the Premier League. It really is. I think that was Steve Bruce. He said it's a really unforgiving league. What are the chances of him getting swallowed up? Or do you think he has it within him to take Leeds forward positively, Sully?
I mean, based on what I saw today, mm-hmm. he mentally looks up for the task. You know, he also signed a 3-year deal. Now, he had incredible success. He didn't succeed. He was with an assistant to Bob Bradley in the World Cup that we did together at Fox in 2010 mm-hmm. in South Africa. They had good success. Then he went to Montreal. He and Joey Saputo didn't have the same philosophy. He left, and surprisingly, he got the job at New York Red Bull, and the fans were flat out, just saying, no, we don't want him. The other coach that was there, Petke, was a legendary player, and he had done really well, the most winningest coach up until that point, and Jesse Marsh did extremely well. You know, he won the title. They didn't win the MLS Cup. Mm-hmm. Then he decided to leave that position to take an assistant position at Red Bull, mm-hmm. right? And then under Ralph Rednick, and then he went to Salzburg, won 2 titles. Then he went to Leipzig. He didn't do well in Leipzig. And, you know, many people say it's unfair, the Leipzig situation, because 3 of the players left, the main players that they had there. And his wife was going through, I think, some cancer during that time. The Sabitzer left, Upamecano and Konate all left. And then the team hadn't done well. They said, okay, they cut ties. So he's coming off a season that wasn't, that's the first thing that I thought. That's surprising that they would hire him, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Based on what happened in Leipzig, because he didn't do extremely well. He definitely seems poised by the Champions League matches that he's had and the pedigree. I see him that he could do quite well.
Okay.
Because having been a player, Andy, and you yourself and Richard, you know, listening to the conference, he's believable. Right. He's not a guy. It wasn't fluff, though. I don't think this was fluff at all. But Grant, when he started, I could remember in Chicago, I just want to tell a Jesse Marsh story. Either it was with Bob and they were playing Poland, and we were at a breakfast, and I remember John Harkes and I, either the night after the game, we went to Rush Street, and they had great, like, Gypsy King flamenco music, and we had the time of our lives.
Yeah, that sounds, like you and Harkes. Yeah, that definitely sounds like you and John. Yes.
Funny that. Sorry.
A lot of,
sorry, fella, carry on.
Sorry. Yeah, You know, that was such a good memory. But I remember, you know, well, you look at the assistant coaches, like John Hartz was the assistant to Bruce Arena. And you know, these assistant coaches, they're setting up the cones. And, yeah, I mean, you know John Hartz. Yeah. You know, he played when you played, Andy, around that time, scored the goal against Peter Shelton. You know, he's a legend. Here he is. He's setting up cones, doing the thing. Yes, boss, whatever, writing down. They treat those guys like accountants on the bench, you know. Writing all their notes on the bench and so forth. And so Jesse Marsh was sitting, having a coffee, and had his leg over the other leg, drinking a coffee, reading the paper. And he starts saying, you know, I'm reading this book, How Football Changes the World or Affects the World. And he said, it's really fascinating. Did you know that such and such, he's talking about, you know, Galatasaray and Fenerbahce, a couple of the Darby's and this. And I said, yeah, I knew that. He goes, oh, you read the book? And I said, no, I actually lived it. I was in Europe playing, right? And so at that point, I kind of thought to myself, you know, I just thought he was, I thought, you know, the comment was kind of interesting when he was talking about it and referencing the book. Mm. But now as I look back, I see a guy that was completely hungry for that experience. Good on him because he's done extremely well.
Well, we all wish him well.
We do wish him well.
A couple of things quickly. Yeah. One, we didn't get you envisioned, but we've doubled the time we normally spend with our guest as a courtesy, and it's been brilliant.
Absolutely.
So far, there's more to come. Two, I don't see much of a difference between Marsh and Ranić, other than Ranić is a German, so therefore a genius, and Marsh is an American, so therefore has a lot to prove. Mm. Their career paths are not dissimilar, are they? That's the bottom.
No.
Not dissimilar.
No,
not
very
dissimilar. Okay. Now, and finally, how is our mate Tony Meola?
Oh, he's doing great. In fact, his birthday was the other day. We had a text and said, he's a commentator for, local commentator for Chicago Fire, and then we did the show on Sirius XM for 5 years together, so he's doing quite well.
He's a good lad.
But you know, the funny thing
Do pass
thing
on
about,
our best wishes. Has he forgiven us yet?
You know what? I tell this story all the time because we're on air in between. If you really want the entertainment, you got to watch Keezy and Gray in between the show. You know, and no one brings you back in to a show better than Keezy, because he could be talking about anything with the guys, and all of a sudden, yes, just as ever, here we are. And Tony Meola, they were telling a story about, yeah, you heard what happened. And they said that the actress, the famous actress that stabbed that person, and he, who? And, you know, yeah, and they stabbed. And then,
Reese.
What's her name?
Reese.
And he goes, Witherspoon? And Andy said, no, with a knife. And his face was for 15 minutes, he didn't say anything.
I don't think he got the joke, did he, Sally?
I had never seen somebody so mad, you know, for 15 minutes.
Yeah. That joke, Sally, has travelled all around the world.
Yeah, we've talked it here in Qatar as well, Sally, don't worry.
Well, if he's forgiven us, please
send him our best.
Our best wishes. And it's been brilliant, Sally, to catch up. Thank you very much.
Thanks, pal.
I know we'll see you in Qatar, so relax.
My pleasure.
Yes.
And if anybody had any doubts as to the oracle and the knowledge, then I think we've just proven our point.
Yes.
So great to talk, Sally. Finally, I see you've been in rehab. What was the problem? Quickly, what happened?
Oh, you did his knee replacement.
A total knee replacement.
Yeah,
like
same
Andy.
As me.
Like total knee replacement.
Yeah, so I was chatting to him, telling
exact
him,
same thing.
Giving a wee bit of encouragement.
His knee was more handsome than yours.
And I appreciate
much more
it,
handsome.
Andy. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Look
after yourself, Sully.
Cheers, pal.
Cheers,
mate.
See you, man.
God bless.
It's still a good joke.
That's a great joke.
People say that I said that has travelled the world. Yeah. It has. But we've updated it.
Yes, because I when we started telling that many years ago.
They think we're old.
They thought we were talking about the boxer.
Yes.
What was his first name? Tim Witherspoon. Well, you see, not many people know the boxer. So I said to you, listen, everybody knows Reese Witherspoon. Everybody knows her. Tony, so let's update it.
Tony did. Sully's right. He was
yeah, no, Sully was wetting himself as well behind him. I could see him.
That he still tells our stories. And of course, all the lads here now know it.
Yes.
And
Jose now, who's sitting beside us now, he's been chuckling away.
The key to good humour is if it's funny, it'll last.
It travels.
Yes. So all you need to do is change your audience.
Correct.
So
Josie's an example. This first time he's heard that. He's been chuckling away for the last 10 minutes.
Fascinated what Sully had to say about Marsh. I do mean that, by the way. It's not the same, but it's not dissimilar, Ranić and Marsh.
I know what you mean.
But one's a German, so he invented the game. He invented the press. The hyper-press?
Hyper-press.
He invented the press, whereas Jesse Marsh is coming from behind the line now because he's Ted Lasso. He's got an American accent. Yes. I mean, Sky buried him, Brad Bobley.
Aye, they did.
AM. I mean, I love Fenners, but what they did to him was cruel.
Yeah.
He was never, ever going to recover from that. I hope this time they leave Jesse alone.
Well, they will leave him alone. They won't be allowed to do it now.
Well, I hope not.
Because it'll be bullying.
Yeah, well, it is.
That's what I'm saying.
And it cost the fella his job. And if you look at the jobs he's had, he's not a fool.
I know. No, he's not. But it was great to see Sully, and I'm so looking forward to seeing him this winter when he gets here for the World Cup.
But I meant that when we started, first thing he said was, is it in vision?
Is it in vision? That's brilliant. Sully, he is a good-looking man. If you don't know him, look him up.
Yeah, go on his Instagram. He's also a very good coach.
He is a good coach, very good coach. Does a lot with the kids as well.
Yeah.
Amazing work with the kids over there in the States. And nice that he thinks that they've got, you know, a few young American kids, 14, 15, 16, that are showing real promise.
Well, we've seen that, haven't we, around the world. Yeah. As you mentioned, Pulisic, a very good footballer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's it for another week. Thank you very much for your company. We did spend more time with our guest this week than I thought we might, but I'm happy that was the case.
Yeah,
I
mean, absolutely.
He's a fascinating listen.
He is.
He seems to know everybody.
Yeah.
In fact, I think he probably does.
Probably does.
Yeah, he does.
He does know everybody. He knows these guys. He doesn't seem to. He does.
So you can find us at Keys and Grey Pod, A-N-D, spell it out, Keys and Grey Pod. We're available on Twitter and Instagram. As I always say, now you've found us, if you've enjoyed us. There are so many, in my opinion, which is Jimmy Hill used to say, which is an opinion that I respect.
Yeah.
There are many other shows available as well, so do please go and find them and you will be entertained, I hope, thoroughly. Maybe educated.
Well, I don't know.
A little bit.
Hopefully entertained.
Maybe, yeah. Stay with entertainment.
Well, if you listen to Sully, you'll be educated.
We'll see you next week.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.